So what's your favorite?
How did you go?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here. So, hello again, and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, senior writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, author of How to Fight Presidents, and guy who in eighth grade was legitimately booed by most of my school live on stage, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say something, Soren Bowie.
No, I have to have the story.
Eighth grade lip sync and talent show. I performed.
Go on. I know it well.
Yeah. I performed with my band. At the time, I believe we were called Dizzy Cubed for no clear reason. We were a three piece and we played All the Small Things by Blink-182. And in anticipation of this performance, I ran it by the Spanish teacher who was throwing the event. I was like, hey, there's like a kind of a curse word in this song. Am I allowed to say it or no? And she's like, what's the curse word? It's like, there's a lyric where they say, work sucks, I know.
I was just getting it in my head being like, no, there's not. There's not a curse word in that song.
She thought about it and I didn't even like give her an opportunity to say anything. I just said, you know what? You know what I could do? I could change it to work stinks if you want. And she was like, yeah, sure. So I changed the lyric to work stinks, I know. And the middle school was not happy.
They weren't feeling it. They wanted sucks. They wanted to hear you say sucks.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's so funny. You even went to them.
Yeah.
That's such a Dad O'Brien thing to do.
No one forced me to make this change. I volunteered the idea of changing it. And then I pitched a solution.
Before they could even say no.
So what I got to tell you, it was so punk rock. So in the spirit of Blink-182.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Jiminy's, maker of sustainable dog food made with cricket protein. Cricket protein is a superfood that is delicious, nutritious, and easy to digest for dogs. Save 25% on your first purchase. Go to jiminys.com/QQ25 and use code QQ25 at checkout. Thanks to Avast for supporting Quick Question. With Avast One, you can confidently take control of your online world by helping you stay safe from viruses, phishing attacks, ransomware, hacking attempts, and other cyber crimes. Learn more about Avast One at avast.com. Thanks to Shopify for supporting Quick Question. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs like myself the resources once reserved for big business. Boo! For a free 14-day trial and full access to Shopify's entire suite of features, go to shopify.com/QQ.
Thanks to Magic Mind for supporting our podcast. Magic Mind is the world's first productivity drink that helps you fight off stress and keeps you dialed in, not wired. Go to magicmind.co/QQ and use code QQ at checkout for 20% off.
Oh man, work stinks. I know. That's crazy that you were so worried about it. My brother, I remember going to his talent show when I was a little kid. He was in elementary school and they did all of Parents Just Don't Understand, which at the time was like it was huge. And it's three songs basically. And they did all of them together. There's three kids and like each one of them took basically a song. And then the rest of them were like the people in the song. And that song's rough. I mean, there's like, at one point he steals his parents' car and then finds a girl and like kind of is like hooking up with her in the car, and then police get on his tail and then they take the car away. He finds out that the girl was 12 years old. Yeesh. And like, yeah, it's like, first of all, Will, don't, if that comes up, I mean, don't reveal that in the song.
Yeah. don't then turn it around to be like, man, can you believe these parents? No, Will, not the villain.
Yeah. It's so surprising. Like you're choosing the narrative here. You're the one who gets to make the song up, and you're like, "How old should she be? What if she's like? What if she's real young? She's like 16." No, and DJ Jazzy Jeff's like, "What about 12?" but anyway, when you said that there was like a lip sync competition. I immediately was like, yeah, man, I did Lisa Loeb. And like, and
really? Just,
yeah. Eighth grade, we did a lip sync, basically like battle the bands type of thing, but it was just all lip syncing. I don't even remember how this all happened. It was just like, I don't know if other grades did it ever, but we were just like, this is what we're doing. This is the competition. Here's the trophy. And I, on the day, I was like, oh, I know a Lisa Loeb song. I could do that. That would be very funny. And it killed because excellent. I'm a boy, Dan.
Yeah, no, I know. Ours was the first lip sync talent show in our school's history. It was, that was, oh, wow. I don't know if they kept doing it after us because I was in eighth grade and, you know, pretty clearly burned that bridge. But it was like a big deal for us, and especially a big deal for my little outfit, because we were the only, everyone, as far as I know, my memory is not perfect. Everyone did lip sync. We were the only band, the only like group of kids playing instruments in the whole thing. So we closed the show, which was very exciting for us.
You didn't win though.
I don't think an award was given.
Okay. It was just for fun.
Yeah.
So it is, I was thinking about this the other day, that when there's a whole group of people, that they didn't, there wasn't like an escalation where they were hating you, and then this was the straw. This was like, they were probably into it.
Yeah.
You did one thing and they all went, no!
Yeah, yeah.
Boo! No,
they were so excited to see a band, and this was 1998, 1999, so All the Small Things by Blink-182 was like a massive song. It cannot be overstated how big that song was. And for kids to see what felt like a punk rock band right in their school playing instruments and singing, and there's fucking drums and everything. And then the student council treasurer says, work stinks. I know. Then everyone is like, no, come on. Narc.
Stop. So the reason I've been thinking about this is because apparently at a concert just recently in DC, Lord was performing, and she's in the middle of her songs when she's just like bantering with the audience. She's like, I wanted to get a feel for DC, so I took a swim in the Potomac. And everyone goes, oh, boo, boo. And like the crowd just immediately turned on her. People who paid money to come see Lord, the minute she said that she wanted to get a feel for the city, and so she swam the Potomac, they were immediately booing her. And I don't know the rules of DC. I don't know why that's bad or good, but I just thought it was very funny that one little thing, the audience is like, nope, no longer a fan.
At my friend Jacqueline's wedding that we went to recently, she's notorious for pulling pranks. Like she's a real life person who pulls pranks. And in her speech at the reception to her husband, she said something to the effect of, now I know I promised you no pranks at our wedding, but I do have one more surprise for you. And she gestured to a spot on the dance floor, and there was no one there. And she goes, I'm just kidding, there's no prank. And then the bride gets booed at her fucking wedding. It was awesome. Oh. We're all so disappointed that she didn't have a prank.
Everyone wanted it. It's not for him.
Yeah.
It's for us. Oh, that's great. Well, I'm sorry you got booed by your school, Dan.
That's okay. It seemed like a thing I don't know if I've mentioned on this podcast or to you ever is that I didn't swear until college. I didn't say a curse word. Because like our parents said, don't swear. And like I imagine almost all parents do. And I'm the one idiot who like stuck to his parents' rules. I'm sure we've never talked about this, but I imagine my brothers probably would like swear privately with their friends or in their minds in a flight of fantasy. But I was like, no, I don't. Parents, mom and dad said don't swear, so I just won't do it. And I even asked my mom one time, I was like, so when did you first start swearing? She was like, I don't know, probably college. Probably I went to college and then I would swear when I got home, and my mom didn't bat an eye about that. I was like, okay, great. So that's the rule. I will abstain from swearing until college. And that is like a thing that I stuck to.
That's fucking wild, Dan.
I know.
You're such a good person.
I'm so pathetic. My parents.
Oh, you're looking at this wrong, I think. You like, I have a son who's a rule follower, mm-hmm. and I just trying to keep the world from hurting him. He loves the rules and he loves the idea of rules. And when people don't follow the rules, it's such an affront to him. Like, he's bewildered by it. He's not even mad. He's just like, but why would they? Like, the rules are what keep the world coherent.
Yeah.
And I'm just at every single turn, I'm trying to like make sure that he's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Cause he's such a sweet kid and he wants to follow the rules. And I think that you're probably, you were very similar. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's what, if we all followed the rules, Dan, your logic was sound.
Yeah.
If we all did follow the rules, then everything's great.
I do think the real hero in this story is all of my peers who begrudgingly accepted this lifestyle choice of mine.
Yeah. Wow.
Because there were plenty of conversations where I was like, yeah, I just, my parents don't want me to swear, so I don't. And there were, my friends were like, yeah, my parents don't want me to fucking swear either, you goddamn idiot, but I'm going to do it. They're not around. What are you, we're all just trying to survive. Don't you realize that? And eventually when they realized my will was too strong, it was like, all right, fuck it. Dan doesn't swear. Okay.
So what fine. Are you?
I guess we'll just keep this friendship going with this weird loser.
So when you, in place of an expletive, was it like an Annie Wilkes from Misery type of thing where like you'd stub your toe and you'd be like, cheese and crackers?
No, I wasn't a cartoon character. I think I just wouldn't say a swear. I would just like stub my toe and then be unhappy about it.
You internalized it. That's
healthy. Yeah. It became a growth inside of me.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, actually. speaking of my son, Daniel.
Yeah.
I teased on this podcast that I was going to be throwing a birthday party for him and that I was doing it quasi illegally.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
I do. Yeah. You were like most criminals, softly hoping to get caught. You announce your plans into a microphone.
The party had gotten beyond my control. Like, it had come off the rails with the number of guests that were coming. And like, my deepest, most private hope was that we'd immediately get shut down and I didn't have to do it. We had to buy two cakes. There were so many people.
Jesus.
So I was just as like, let me back up just a little bit. So the deal was, is that the parks in the city that I live in have a new ordinance. There's like a new rule that says that vendors have to have this outrageous insurance. It's like a $3 million per occurrence insurance, which means that whatever happens, they're covered for $3 million per incident. Now that's like a crazy, crazy amount. And no vendors got that. And that's every vendor has to have that. So that means not only that you can't do like a jumping castle or the things that you would think people would get hurt in. It's also, if you wanted to have Rey from Star Wars come to your kid's birthday, that person has to have a $3 million occurrence insurance. Which is crazy and wild, and it means that no one will ever do. They can't do tacos or like any sort of vendor, any vendor at all. So, it's all ice cream, anything. It's all, you can't do it. So, I was like complaining to them about that, and this is something that was handed down from City Hall, as far as I understand. I don't know what the top brass are, whatever those people are, assemblymen, and I was like, what is this? Are they just trying to get rid of parties and parks? And the Parks and Rec people who were like lower on the rung, we're like, we don't know. We don't know what they're doing. It's really ruining everything. Nobody's having parties in our parks anymore. I bet it'll change next year. And so I was like, okay, well, what if my hands are tied? Like, I can't have a party in your park. What do I do? And they're like, well, you just can't have a vendor. And I was like, well, what does that mean? They're like, well, you could have a friend. And I was like, then you don't say anything else. Goodbye. So then I contacted this company that does bubble soccer. And you're familiar with bubble soccer, right? That's where you get in a big inflatable ball and your legs stick out the bottom and you can run around and just plow into people and roll over and do whatever you want because you cannot be injured.
I see. I work for John Oliver. Around the office, we say bubble football.
Oh, right. Sorry. Continue. Yeah, of course. So I got this guy to do bubble soccer. I'm like, but we're buddies. And he's like, yes, I understand. We're friends. We'll play. You'll pay me through Venmo. The guys that come and oversee it, they won't even wear like branded t-shirts or anything like that. He was very cool about helping me out. And also I found out that when you rent out a space at the park, you only can have like 25 people. That's your max. My party had about 70 total because when you invite 17 kids or like your class, your son's class, you're inviting. You're at each child represents about 5 people, it turns out, because everybody's got siblings, everybody's got parents, and they all come. These stupid, not broken households where everyone is there. So we had so many fucking people at this party, and the bubble soccer, like they start setting up, and this immediately there's a Parks and Rec person there, and she's like, "What's this? This isn't on my manifest." And I'm like, "Oh no, shouldn't be. These are just my buddies. We're setting up." And she's like, "You're friends, huh?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she's like, "All right, I got to call this in." And I was like, "Fuck, here we go. That's it. We're done." And she went over to, like, by herself, by her van, called, and then came back to me. She's like, "All right, here's the deal. They asked me a lot of questions. They said, are you personally setting it up? I said, yes. They said, are these guys, like, their van is brand new." She's like, "Did they come in a separate car that has like an actual vendor on it? Like indications of a vendor on it." And she said no. She's like, "So this is, I'm going to let you go here." She was just like being super cool and like very, very helpful. And I was like, "Great. This is, you're being very wonderful." She's like, "Here's the other thing. When I do this, there's generally more than one party at these parks. Like somebody can rent out another section. They're going to see this happening and then they're going to be upset and they will call it in because they couldn't have what you've got." And I was
yeah,
like,
"Yeah, that's some rule following shit. That's some work stinks. I know shit. Absolutely. I am team other party."
And she's like, "They're also going to probably come over here and they're going to want to talk to you and figure out how you did it. Here's what you say to them." And I was like, "This is the best. You are like," I was like, I want you in my general life. Like, I want you telling me, here are the rules. Here are the ones you need to follow."
Yeah. She's your first phone call for sure when you're in prison.
She was so cool and so rad. And she was so overworked too. Like, this was her 10th party that morning that she was going around and like putting up the paperwork for. So she really hooked us up. She set it all up. We had a huge party. I mean, so many people. My son got injured in the middle of it, not playing bubble soccer. There was also a giant, where the park that we're in has like this vegetation cliff, basically, that the kids all decided, yeah, we'll climb that. And so they just were like tearing down this cliff. Nobody actually fell, but my son came barreling down. His friend came barreling down behind him. My son stopped on the basketball court and this kid just plowed through him, just turned my son into paste, basically. Mm-hmm. And he fell on the ground and was immediately bleeding out of like 4 places and the party stops. And like, I go, and my instinct is to like pick him up and hold him for a little bit and like get him to calm down, take him somewhere shady. But he's also bleeding all over the front of his body. So I have to turn him around and kind of like pick him up in a seated position. And that makes it look like you've got somebody with a broken bone, basically. Yeah. And so everyone's freaking out. The kids are freaking out and stuff. And I'm trying to be like, no, it's fine. It's fine. And like them getting riled up was also making him more riled up. He's just bleeding a ton. And so like people like bringing stuff to me. And I'm like, "No, please just back up. And finally I get him all cleaned up. It's nothing. It's like these little scratches on his elbows and his knees. And then, but then we have, immediately after that, we did cake. So the footage from the party, the video that I have of us saying happy birthday to him, he could not look more unhappy or just like upset. He's not crying anymore, but there's still tears rolling out of his eyes. He's just staring at the candles as everyone is saying happy birthday around him.
Yeah.
And then we stop. There's a pause. He sighs and then blows out the candles.
Blows out the candles on one of his 2 cakes.
Yeah. Yes. And to the, like, I did look around and like clock some other parents, and the good ones were all like really laughing at this thing, like acknowledging the hilarity of the situation. The kids loved the bubble soccer. It was like a huge, huge hit. Every other parent was like, "Why does everybody jumping castles? They should do this." The kids didn't even touch a ball. They never tried to put a ball in a goal. All they did was run around and run into each other and try and do flips in these things, like big somersaults. And it ruled. I mean, everybody, even adults, they brought 2 adult ones. So like adults were doing it. It was so much fun. Then we had 2 cakes.
Yeah.
I murdered one. I was a terrible cutter. I shouldn't have been a cutter.
I've talked about this before. I love Jiminy's. And more importantly, Jackson, my dog, loves Jiminy's. If you care about the environment and have a dog, then consider reducing your dog's carbon paw print with Jiminy's sustainable dog food and treats made from cricket protein. Jiminy's is sustainably made because Cricket Protein uses less water and land to produce and drastically eliminates greenhouse gas emissions versus traditional animal protein dog food. One bag of Jiminy's Cricket Protein treats saves 220 gallons of water versus traditional animal protein treats. Dogs love the taste. Jiminy's includes delicious, nutritious plant-based ingredients like sweet potatoes, blueberries, peanut butter, which Jackson loves the most, and pumpkin. Said it once before and I'll say it again, Jackson loves his Jiminy's treats. We use them for training and also just a little celebration when he's done something great. He loves the peanut butter ones the best, but we also mix it up with some blueberry stuff too. To learn more and save 25% on your first purchase, go to jiminys.com/QQ25 and use code QQ25 at checkout. That's jiminys.com/QQ25 with code QQ25. We all need cyber protection. Avast is a global leader in cyber protection. They have been for more than 30 years, and they're trusted by over 435 million users. They prevent over 1.5 billion attacks every month. Avast empowers you with digital safety and privacy, no matter who you are, where you are, or how you connect. Enjoy the opportunities that come with being connected on your terms. Avast's new all-in-one solution, Avast One, helps you take control of your safety and privacy online through a range of features. Because Avast believes essential protection should be available to everyone, a free version of Avast One still includes award-winning free AV, free VPN, free firewall, and much, much more. Avast's premium version has even more advanced protection and allows you to protect multiple devices. Why choose Avast? Well, that's simple. Avast's privacy features keep your identity and actions hidden. Avast security solutions stop malware, phishing, and virus attacks, and Avast performance products clean up and speed up your devices. There are a lot of great features for Avast, but today I want to talk about ransomware protection. Avast secures your personal photos, documents, and other files from being modified, deleted, or encrypted by ransomware attacks. They also offer PC speedup that optimizes the background activity of your apps in order to speed up your PC. Don't work with a computer that is slower than you want it to be. Thanks to Avast for supporting Quick Question. Confidently take control of your online world with Avast One. It helps you stay safe from viruses, phishing attacks, ransomware, hacking attempts, and other cyber crimes. Learn more about Avast One at avast.com.
I'm really surprised about the Parks and Rec person because I imagine she has to do this exact thing all the time. So why do they go through that whole song and dance every time? Why does she have to call and then do a spiel when she could just be like, yeah, I see what's happening. It's fine.
Yeah. So I think that she hasn't experienced it like this yet. Because I spent a ton of time trying to figure out how to get around these rules. I think generally they have somebody who's just like, we're just going to show up and set up. And like, it's better to ask for forgiveness than for permission. So like, they just go set up a jumping castle. And in those situations, it feels more like an affront probably to them, to the Parks and Rec people. And they're like, no, shut this down. You don't even have this space reserved. Like it's like, you didn't even try. And it was so clear that I tried. And she was really appreciating the effort. And so she was like, all right, I get it. These are your friends. This is fine. It's also more minimal impact to do this bubble soccer thing. With a jumping castle, it's big. It's got branding all over it. It's got a generator that goes along with it.
Yeah.
And like, there's a giant truck that it has to travel in. Bubble soccer was way easier and way more discreet, I would say. but it was, man, it was so cool. And all the kids, every single kid was into it. Like it wasn't like it was broke down by gender or anything like that. Like every kid was like, yeah, I want to get in one of those and do some flips.
Awesome. Well, congrats on a successful birthday.
Thank you. It was. We forgot to give out the party favors for like seven of the families. That was a real...
What?
The party favors were in a box that were kind of like away from the party because I didn't want kids just digging through this because some of those kids are that kind of kid. Sure. There was one kid who just came up and stuck his hand in the cake. And I was like, oh, okay, that's no, we don't do that. So then when like family started to leave already, Colleen and I were like, well, this is the downhill, like home stretch here. And we completely forgot to give them the party favors. And so when I finally figured out what was going on, I was like, oh my God. And just started like throwing them at children. I spent so much time putting these together too. They're like, not the kind where you just like get a bag that's full of erasers and stuff. I was like, I don't want useless hunks of shit. I want to have this be cool. So I got them. I got everyone a Ford Taurus. It's a reliable car. It's not flashy. I got these backpacks that have Baby Yoda on them. So it looks like you're carrying Baby Yoda, sort of.
Oh, nice.
Not a huge backpack, just like the ones that have the little drawstrings. And inside there was inflatable lightsabers that were just sick. Like, my son still plays with his inflatable lightsabers. There's tattoos. This is a Star Wars party.
Yeah.
Tattoos, Star Wars tattoos. And there was, I don't remember anymore. Probably some useless shit, honestly.
C-3PO erasers.
Yeah, after I just, but it was, they all got theirs. And then the next day I had Ronan bring some to the kids at school who didn't get them. And I was like, just be cool about it when you give it to them, because not everyone went to your party. And I just like, want you to be a little discreet. Just go hand it to them. Mm-hmm. And so Ronan was like, okay, got it. And I watched him get into line at school. He like clocked this girl, Abigail, and he's like, oh, I got to get her. So he digs in his backpack, goes over to her, and he's like, this is because you came to my party. And then ran away. And all the kids around her were like, what the fuck? It's like, oh, bro. We'll work on that.
Yeah. I also had some family time this past week, Soren. Yeah. I went down to North Carolina to see my parents, and my brother and sister-in-law, and my niece and nephew. We were all down at the same time. And I've mentioned on the podcast that I'm trying to get into golf, because that's what my brother and dad do. And they're both gotten really good at it. And I secretly started taking golf lessons and hitting the driving range almost every day, because I was visualizing this moment of golfing with them and getting to my first tee and taking my first swing, and both of them going, who the fuck is this? This guy showed up. Something's different. And I would like
and then they would love you.
Yeah. And then, and mock humbly, I would be like, I guess I took a couple of lessons. So the first hole that I'd visualized for so long, I beamed two balls directly into the water. And then quit that hole.
I'm out of balls. Was I supposed to bring more than two?
I was like, nope, too mad. Can't keep playing this one. I'm gonna sit in the cart and regroup, and I will. The game starts on the second hole for me. That's what I'm doing. And it wasn't. I didn't really like wake up as a golf player with all of the stuff that I learned in my lessons until about the eighth hole. Then things started to turn around for me. I'm still not good and not like competitive with them, but I'm clearly better than I was a year ago. And they both noticed something was different, which is great. And I did get to tell them, like, I had to sheepishly volunteer the information and say, by the way, I took lessons and have been going to the driving range too.
Oh, what a bummer.
Impress you guys. And they're like, no, yeah, we noticed. I was like, well, you didn't say anything.
So you came alive in the back nine. That's
yeah.
Somehow that's even better, I think. Well, now not the way that you had to describe it, but like you like suddenly coming alive would be, that's even better, because then you don't even say you get lessons. Then you're just like, I think I'm getting the hang of this.
It's like, oh, I get it. Forward and we're aiming for the hole. I see. Okay. Yeah, this makes sense now.
I found in my own life that when people believe me to just be preternaturally good at things, it's good. Like, it goes much further than when they think that I've practiced it a lot.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, did you ever have any drives where you just hit the ball and it just felt good and the ball just disappeared into orbit? I just went far. I mean,
oh yeah. Yeah. One that went so far that we never found it. And I'm convinced it was a good shot. My brother was convinced it went into the water, but there was no time to litigate that because there were people behind us.
And you never went looking for it?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then it probably was a great shot. Maybe it was in the hole and you just didn't know.
It was really, I had to go like, cause I took lessons a little bit ago and I had to bite my tongue on this podcast because I was like, I don't want to, I had stories about taking lessons, but I didn't want to say it on the podcast because I didn't want them to hear it and
those
then
snoops.
I certainly couldn't, cause it would be all over Variety, The Hollywood Reporter, senior writer Daniel O'Brien taking golf lessons, biggest scoop of the fucking century,
single senior writer.
So I didn't say anything, and then even when I got down to North Carolina, there was, my dad hurt his shoulder at one point, so there was a chance we wouldn't go golfing at all. And my brother was like, would you be bummed if we didn't go golfing? And I had to like do my best to express that I did want to go golfing, but in a way that seemed casual and normal, because if this were any other year of my life, I would say, no, I don't care if we don't go golfing. I would be fine if we didn't go golfing. But this year being the year that I practiced, I'd be like, I bought a couple of new golf outfits that I specifically got for this trip.
Be nice to try to just wear.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a waste of time, waste of money. It's a sunk cost at this point. So yeah, we should go golfing a little bit. I had to play it cool the whole time just so I can make my grand debut of fucking doinking two balls in a row into the water and quitting.
I'll be reading in the cart.
Yeah. Just show up there and soak two balls and then say, thanks guys, I'm out. This cost me $250.
Plus the outfits, of course.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, while you were playing, were you overwhelmed with the joy of competitive sport?
No.
Okay. Here's why I ask. I stopped playing sports when I had children. I was way into sports. I love competitive things, as you know. Mm-hmm. And I stopped playing because there just wasn't really time. It wasn't fair to my wife. I was going to be like, oh no, on Saturdays, I'm going to go to this. There's like a pickup ultimate league or like do the winter league or whatever. I can't do that. And so I stopped. And then I went two Christmases ago, I played golf and I hadn't played in forever. So I was also very bad. And everyone else around me was very good. But just competing in anything. Like my first thought was, I think I really love golf. I think golf is like, this is so much fun. And then I started to wake up a little bit to what was really happening. And I was like, oh no, it's just being competitive in any capacity outdoors is something that I genuinely love and don't have in my life anymore. And I'm putting all of that on golf right now.
I see. No, not for me. But I also think like my brother and dad can be competitive with each other. I am so much worse than them in every aspect of the game that I'm not like a win for me this time around was to look like I was playing golf, which is what I was doing. I was driving the ball far and like keeping pace with them in the golf course. So it's not them 200 yards down the course and me forcing the ball up with sheer tyranny of will 70 yards at a time, just muscling it down the field like a lunatic. I wanted to look like I was playing the same game as them, and I accomplished that. But I'm not at a point yet where it makes sense for me to keep score of myself.
Okay. Yeah. Once you get above kind of like six, you just stop counting.
Yeah.
I'm in the same boat. I'm not a good golfer by any means, but what I like, the way that you can really hold your own is off the tee box. If you can really belt one straight and just knock the shit out of it and like send it, you know, 20 yards past anybody else, everyone is like, oh, nice. Nice. Oh, this is, you do golf.
I mean, at this point I want the ball to go high and far, and I want, to make that sound you get when you hit the ball off the tee with a driver. Yeah. Get that sound that was like, oh, if a blind person was sitting here, they would think I was playing golf. That's what I want.
Yeah, of course. We also had the weird experience where when I played with basically family, I mean, one of them's a brother-in-law, one of them's a sort of brother-in-law. One of them was cheating. I was like, who is this for? Oh, well, there was a consequence. If you lost, if you were last, you had to jump in this pool. It was December, and there was a very, very cold pool at the house that they were staying at. And like, when we got back, which would be around sundown, you had to jump in this terrible cold pool. Better for me.
Were they cheating in like a pretty loud way of fudging their own score, or cheating in like there are a lot of formal rules to golf that many people might not even know?
cheating in a very, if you didn't even know golf, you were okay. Like, no, that yeah. was not, you did not have a bogey there. You had like a triple bogey yeah. where they're just like, he could get done with the hole and he'd be like, ugh. Got a four. You're like, no, you didn't. And I wasn't clocking it for a while, but then the other brother-in-law, like as we were like walking back to the carts, he was like, he's cheating. I was so, like, he is? And then I checked it, like I started paying attention. And I was like, yeah, he's cheating.
you don't need to name names. This is just for me. Is the brother-in-law who was cheating? Is it the brother-in-law that I met?
No. Oh, this oh, is thank God. Okay. This good. Is my brother's
okay.
wife's family and extended family.
Copy.
Yeah, I don't know that brother-in-law that you met, Marty. I don't think he plays golf, but
I didn't peg him for a cheater. That would be very surprising.
No. To me. Yeah, he's like the nicest.
Yeah.
He's also a rule follower. He's one of the good ones.
Yeah.
but I love golf. I do love it. I think maybe I just love sports, but. I'm going to play again this winter and I'm so excited about it.
I loved it. You know what I loved, and this should come as no surprise to listeners of the podcast who I've already talked about, Spanish classes and boxing classes and dance classes. Taking golf lessons is great. I highly recommend it. When you're, especially if you have been doing something for a while, by yourself, and then you meet with an expert to correct some things, there is I will never have as many complete game-changing lessons as I do right in the beginning. There are so many easy, obvious things for a professional to correct at this point that right. immediately make my game better. Just there's like a list of things that would take me 6 months of practice to fix myself that he can just diagnose in 30 minutes. And it's, you know, it's like seeing a new color for the first time. It's, and again, that's not going to happen like 2 months down the line, but I know that the lessons will not like improve my game by 40% or 50% every week. But in the beginning, it's just fun. There's so much stuff that he can correct and make better. And I love learning new stuff and getting better at things.
Yeah, it's nothing but improvement. And like creating yeah. that polished work, that muscle memory of you know that you're doing the thing right. And yeah. like just honing in this one very specific movement over and over and over again until it becomes second nature is such a joyful thing. I yeah. don't know, it's hard to explain, but it's like beautiful. It's great to and when you see other people doing something where it's like, oh no, that's polished. Like this is something that they've done over and over and over again. You're immediately in awe of them.
Yeah.
Even that little smoking kid. Do you remember that viral child that like was smoking a cigarette and he's like 2 years old, but he can like the way he's twisting the cigarette around his fingers and stuff, you're like, oh yeah, this kid, he knows his shit.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm sure everybody's got to know this. I'm surprised that you don't.
Smoking kid?
Smoking child. Viral. Indonesia, maybe?
Oh.
Remember this kid?
Yeah, I do.
And he's just like great with a cigarette.
Indonesian baby smokes 40 cigarettes a day. 35 million views on YouTube. I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't have filmed this.
I don't know why that's the first thing that I use. This is my example, but like just polished work in general in anything. Yeah. Just 1 second. I'm going to Michael Shannon. There's a cooking video with Michael Shannon where he's doing part of this like class basically. So he's not a chef by any means, but there's a professional chef that's like coaching him through something. And they're like, all right, now crack your eggs and put them in. And he cracks his eggs on the table with just one hand. He mm-hmm. does like an egg in his hand, cracks it on the table, not on like a corner, on solid on the table, and then splits it open with one hand and throws the egg away. And it's such a, immediately the chef is like, where did you learn that? Cause he's not a good cook at all. But yeah. then, and Michael Shannon's like, oh, I was a line cook in this play at one point. And it's like, I had to learn how to do it. So he has this, like this one very specific knowledge point about cooking that makes him look like a professional. If you only saw him do this one thing,
man, that is one thing that I think is really cool. A fun side benefit of acting. Most of acting I think is stupid, but, was reading an interview with, Ayo Edebiri, who's on The Bear right now. She's very good. And she was talking about taking a bunch of cooking classes to understand the character and like make the cooking that she is doing look convincing.
Yeah.
And that's such a, what a cool aspect of your job that you, to prepare for a role, you could just take classes and things and learn a new thing to effectively fake it. I would love to have that kind of freedom, that kind of room where it's like, all right, I'm playing a dancer in this movie, and most of acting is pretend bullshit. I have to do something to justify how much they're paying me. Okay, I'm going to take a dancing class for 6 months to prepare for this thing. Or all those actors who like go to boot camp, all the Top Gun Maverick guys who went to flight school for a little while. It's just like all these like little tiny things that you get to add to your arsenal of skills that you know. It's so cool.
I think being a dilettante is completely underrated. So being just kind of good at everything. I think it's in the same way where like, if you learn one really cool dance move, like if you have that in your repertoire, it's the same with driving in golf. Like if you can drive off the tee, there's just like this one thing where everyone's like, yeah, okay, he plays golf. He passes. You have like this one move on a dance floor.
Yeah.
You like spin on your back. Everyone's like, oh no, he's a fucking good dancer. People just remember you differently because you have like a one thing.
It's weird. He only dances when this one song plays. I just assume it's his favorite. Assume he learned choreography, committed it to memory, and busts it out.
It's why people have a karaoke song where they're like, this is the song that I do. And if I just perform this one song, everyone will think that I have this huge talent behind it all. And that's not true. It's just a facade.
Cha-ching. Do you know that sound? I love that sound. That sound makes me smile. That sound makes me excited. That's the sound of another sale on Shopify. Cha-ching. Shopify is the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify instantly lets you accept all major payment methods. Discover inspiration. Shopify believes in liberating commerce for all because entrepreneurship has the power to drive communities forward and commerce can be a force for good. Discover your possible. Shopify unlocks the opportunity of your business to more people every day. Every 28 seconds, an entrepreneur like you makes their first sale on Shopify. Supercharge your knowledge, your sales, and your success. For a free 14-day trial, go to shopify.com/QQ, all lowercase. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, even you. They want to give you the resources once reserved for big business, customized for you, with a great-looking online store that brings your idea to life and tools to manage and drive sales. You got an idea? Shopify is going to help you make it real and open endless possibilities. Believe me, this podcast started as a scam. I don't want to get into the details, but a tax-related scam. We were dodging some tax things. And now it's a massive business with multiple employees, and we are very serious entrepreneurs, me and Soren. I love how Shopify makes it easy for anyone to successfully run their own business. Shopify powers millions of entrepreneurs, like me, from first sale to full scale. And every 28 seconds, a small business owner makes their first sale on Shopify. That's crazy. Get started by building and customizing your online store with no coding or design experience. This is a possibility powered by Shopify. Go to shopify.com/QQ, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Start selling on Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/QQ right now.
Everybody knows that when it gets to be mid-afternoon, you start losing focus. It's just what happens. We're supposed to be sleeping during that time. It's nature's way, but that's not how the office politics work. So you need to stay focused at work, and how are you going to do it? Well, there's a new and exciting way to do that with Magic Mind. And we're teaming up with Magic Mind, and they are offering you 20% off your order when you go to magicmind.co/QQ and use code QQ at checkout. It's a great way to pick yourself back up in the mid-afternoon, right when you're about to hit that wall, carry you through the afternoon, and get you into the evening, which is where you really want to use your energy. I like the matcha flavor. I think it's delicious. Now, cards on the table. I am not 100% sure how it works. It's got a bunch of big names in it, like nootropics and adaptogens. And honestly, I don't need to know because it's working for me. I like the matcha flavor, and all those things help you fight off stress. It's a great alternative to caffeine. It's basically built for an entrepreneur or a creator, if that's your speed. They even have a money-back guarantee. They've also been featured in Forbes and were called Silicon Valley's new morning elixir because of how the founder, James Bechara, became the de facto nootropics guy in Silicon Valley before even starting Magic Mind. If you're like me and you need the extra productivity, focus, and an easier way to get into the creative flow state, I definitely recommend you try out Magic Mind. You've got nothing to lose. With their money-back guarantee, any first purchase will be refunded, no questions asked, if it doesn't meet your expectations. Go to magicmind.co/QQ and use code QQ at checkout for 20% off. Dan, I got a quick question for you.
Go.
Did you go to preschool? Do you know?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But you don't? Do you know how long you went for?
No, I remember kindergarten. I have no reason to assume I didn't go to preschool. I can't remember the name of the school or who crossed me while I was there.
Well, for the first time in my family's immediate family's history, both my children are now in school. Gilly just started school yesterday, started a preschool. And I thought for sure this was going to be an easy thing for her because she's so outgoing in a way that nobody else in the family is, where we go into a new space. She can't find us immediately if we're like at the beach or at a dinner or something. And she's like lost her way. She's just like, oh, this family looks good. And you just sort of like watch her mosey up to another family and be like, well, I'll be with you from now on, basically. And it's very charming. Hey, it's
you look like a mom and dad.
Yeah, this looks nuclear. I could be a part of this. I know how I fit into something like this. But she's very, very much like that. We even took her. There was a day where we could just go and like hang out at the school to get her familiar with it and to kind of see it while we're there with her. And she immediately like walked away from us, went on this bear hunt with everybody else. They're doing like that. We're going on a bear hunt. We're gonna catch a bear. It's a book. And she was into it. She was immediately into it, playing with the other kids. And we're like, oh, she's going to be fine. And I even talked to her about it before we went. She's so pumped about school because Ronan goes. She always says, my school. And we're like, yeah, you're going to your school. Now, listen, I'm going to drop you off and then I'm going to go away. And she's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. So I won't be there. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. All right, let's try it. And so the first day I brought her to school, she marched right in. And I was like, this is great. I gave them all the stuff that I needed to give them, changes of clothes and stuff. And then I fucked up. I went, okay, hey, Gilly, bye. And she was like, what? You're not staying? I was like, no, we talked about it over and over. And she freaked out and like ran at me. This is something that we had to deal with Ronan for like years, where it was at every single drop off, it's him trying not to cry, but like being held by somebody and reaching out for us. So Jesus. Like he will never see it. Yeah. God. It's heartbreaking. It's tough. It's really, really hard. And I thought maybe we want to deal with that with Gilly. First 2 days doesn't look likely. It looks like maybe it's going to be even worse. She feels things even a little bigger than he does. And she was losing it. Like it was life or death. Like, trying to like push away as much as she could from the teacher and just like grabbing at me and like trying to grab my clothes and like not letting go and screaming, no, no, no. And then when I finally pried her tiny hands away from me and shut the gate, I could hear on the other side saying, daddy, come back, daddy, Jesus. Come back. Even in my car, as I'm driving away, it's loud enough that I can hear it in the car. And I'm just like, oh, I don't know that I have the will for this. It's so hard.
The parental instinct to resist that is the most confusing thing in the world to me. It's the right thing to do. You're doing the right thing, yeah. But I don't know how any parent does that. I like just visualizing any of my nieces or nephews being held back and reaching out for me. I feel like I'd be like, you know what? It's fine. I'm gonna take them and he'll just never be away from me for the rest of both of our lives. I'm gonna raise an incredibly weird son. And that's my choice. That's what I'm doing.
It is. I think that I'm going to
homeschool him or not. I'm just going to keep him here.
It's so rough. Like, and you think about like, you start to waver, you start to think about what sort of emotional damage you might be doing with this, because they really are. It looks like they're never going to see you again. And they feel that in their hearts because they're like screaming and be like, don't go, don't go. And you're like, no, this is good for you. and you're like, is it good for them? But ultimately, my son is now great at school. I mean, he just goes and walks in. He's awesome. And it's because he's had all this experience with having to go to school and knowing that parents come back at the end, that it's actually more fun to be there. And I just like want to fast forward to when she's figured that out, because man, is it rough.
Can I tell you what tragic thing my godson said to me in North Carolina when we were down
please.
There?
Please. Yeah, please.
This was unprompted. My 5-year-old nephew said, Uncle, he calls me Uncle. Uncle, I'm worried about you sometimes.
Oh,
and
no.
I said, why? He said, because it's just you and Jackson in that beach house alone. You don't have any people.
Oh, my God. That's devastating.
Absolutely. And I thought, and I was like, you don't have to worry about me. And I think it's an amazing trait of his that he thinks about that, because at 5 years old, I didn't assume he thought about me at all when he couldn't see me.
Right.
I thought really it was just like, oh, Uncle's here. And when Uncle's not here, you know, who gives a hoot? Now I'm playing with Legos or whatever.
He stops existing somewhere.
Yeah. So I wanted to like let him know. I was like, no, I've got this neighbor that I hate. And I've there's this guy down the street, Joe, and I fucking hope he chokes, but I see him every day.
I'm leading a rich life.
And just letting him know that there are like people and friends in my life and things that I do, and that he doesn't need to be worried about me. But at the same time, I'm also thinking like, I guess I should get married and start a family
for him
right now. Yeah. I don't want him to worry about me.
Man, that means that like, it's just in these moments unprompted where he's got some time to just ponder things. You come to mind, and he's like,
I know. It's so sweet.
I'm worried about my uncle.
Yeah. And his parents, my brother and sister-in-law, tell me that that's like a very common thing for him. If he's reading a story with like main characters, and then there's a random side character that gets mentioned and then sort of dropped, he's very concerned about the side character. He's like, well, who's gonna pick up the side character from school? Why don't we know about the side characters, right, mommy and daddy? And he's got such a big heart, and he cares for everyone. And me, as a side character in his life, I also get that treatment.
Right. Oh man, that's so sweet.
I know.
I don't know how you could comfort him though. I think you have to be like, no, you're right. It's just us.
Yeah.
If something happened to me, Jackson would probably eat me eventually.
Yeah. He would poop everywhere. Eat me, resent me, and then I would eventually be found by that neighbor I hate.
So you see, everything's fine. I don't even know how I would help him through that. So my son's six. Like how old is he?
5.
Okay, it's like an age where they start to get some kind of complex ideas, or like, and start thinking about things in a complex way. And it's very interesting and fun to watch it happen to my son. And I can start giving him a little more details about actual life than I had previously, where we'll be reading a Rick Jr. magazine. That's like a sort of like Highlights, but for animals.
Are they trying to jump on Nick Jr.?
No, it's Ranger Rick is like the older kid version. And then there's a Rick Jr.
Okay.
And it's
that's some Kirkland Nickelodeon shit, if I ever heard it. Yeah. Do you guys have Rick Jr.? Oh man, you're poor.
Yeah, it is like the select cola of these magazines. But we're reading it, and we get to like this. There's a really good one that just came out that's got like, here are what amphibians are, here are what reptiles are, here are what birds are, here are what insects are, here are what mammals are. And we get to the mammal page, and I'm like trying to pull it out of him, being like, what do you think a mammal is? Like, what separates a mammal from other animals? And he's good. He's like, they have hair. And I'm like, yeah, okay. What about dolphins and stuff? He's like, oh. And then we get to the idea of mammary glands. And I'm like, they're called mammals because of mammary glands. So they all have nipples. And he's like, what? Where? And he's like, are you telling me that elephant has nipples? Like, yeah. He's so charmed by the idea of it. And then I start telling him about birth and like mammals give live birth and that we all have belly buttons because they were all connected to a placenta. And he's like, what on earth is that? So like, I'm explaining to him like what a placenta is and him trying to understand it is the cutest fucking thing in the world. He's going, okay. And so what happens to the rest of the cord? And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you cut it from the baby where the rest just hangs out of the mom's butt. Like, no, no, it's connected to a little organ and the organ comes out. Yeah, it does. Can I see it? I mean, okay, we'll look at pictures of placentas. He's like, and then where do they go? Like, where do
yeah,
they,
I feel
what
like
happens
if,
to them?
If I was a 6-year-old learning about placentas, I'd be like, why don't I fucking see them all over the ground? What's going on?
Yeah, how come we're not kicking
why
through these
on my way
to school?
Why are we slipping on placentas every day?
Like, why am I kicking through leaves like an idiot when I could be kicking crunchy old placentas? And I was like trying to explain to him, I don't ever know how much to give because I'm like, I want to be honest and I don't want to like seem squeamish around anything. So I was like, well, some people eat them. It's like looking at the sky, like what? And I'm like, no, I know that's kind of how I feel, but I don't want to like give you that just yet. I want you to like make your own informed opinions, but there's people to get it, put it into pills. I know a woman, sort of a hippie-ish woman back in my hometown who turned it into an omelet. Not everybody eats them. Some people just throw them away or they use them for science.
Yeah.
And trying to like explain all this to him and that all animals, he's like, well, what do the animals do with them? And I'm like, yeah, they eat them. And he was like, no, all animals. And I was like, yeah, man, it's just us that don't eat them.
Man, you've thrown a lot at him that he's sitting with his, sitting on the stoop with his head in his hands being like, okay, so elephants who have nipples eat placenta.
A lot more nipples than
we do. I'm going to sleep. I know it's 4 PM. I'm going to sleep. I've had a day. That's enough.
It always is clear to me when I've given him too much because he stops talking for a while and just stares as he's like trying to like just compute it all, just trying to get it all through his brain. And it's really funny to watch. It's like I've just given him too much at a time.
Yeah.
But anyway, I really enjoy doing it. I think it's really funny to see him try and tackle all these big heady concepts. But sometimes he brings it on himself. Like he wants to talk about, he's like, what's that place you go when you die? And I'm like, I don't know, the ground. And he's like, the one where God lives. And I was like, where is this coming from? Yeah, heaven. He's like, yeah, heaven. And then like, he wants to talk a little bit about heaven and he wants to talk about it in a tangible, and that's where I'm going, right? And I'm like, how much do I give you here? Some people think so. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Listen, Ronan, we haven't yet decided if we want to raise you that way yet. We don't know. We don't know if we think you're going to heaven.
Yeah. He has told me the animals he's coming back as. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. You believe in reincarnation, that's fine. Because the type of reincarnation that we talk about is you're reincarnated as something else, but you have no memories of your old life. So you don't even know what you were previously, which means that you wouldn't know what you were previously at this point, which means that effectively when you die, you just die.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
And that definitely lets you off the hook too. Like you have no memory of your past life, including this conversation. So.
Yeah. So yeah, be a raccoon. That's fine. I hope you'll have a great time. But yeah, he's at an age and like Gilly is, it's so clear. She has no idea ever what's truly happening. Like I try to have any sort of conversation with her where I'm like something like we find a dead possum or something like that. I'm like, not everything lives. Trying to like explain that to her. And it's not getting through to her. And she's like to the point where like, she doesn't even know what we've just encountered. Like later she'll be like, calling her like, what did you see on your walk? And she'd be like, a doggy lying down sleeping. And I'm like, that wasn't even a dog. That was a possum. What are you?
Yeah. That's what I think about the many fears I have of eventual parenthood. I think the single biggest one for me is that I'm going to raise a weird kid because I will keep so much of reality from them. I'm just going to raise them in a fictional town like in The Village movie where I completely feed them whatever I want. And then the kid's going to go to sixth grade and be like, how am I just learning about death? I'm like, I'm sorry. Death is such a bummer. I didn't want you to know about it. Are the other kids making fun? Yeah, they're really making fun of you for it. Yeah.
Oh, that's my fault. I'll talk to their kids. Yeah. Would it be nice if I talked to the other kids for you? No, Dad, don't talk to them. Well, you know what? That's it.
Great.
Yeah. This has been Quick Question, which you already know. We have a theme song, really great theme song. It's by Me Rex, and you can listen to more Me Rex music at merex.bandcamp.com. You can also follow Dan or I on Twitter. You can follow Daniel at @DOB_Inc, or you can follow me, Soren, at Soren_LTD. You can also follow Quick Question at @QQ_Soren and Dan. If you have a burning question for us, you can email us at QQ with Soren and Daniel@gmail.com, or you can join our Patreon. We have a Patreon, it's Patreon.com/QuickQuestion, where you can ask your question. And there's a very good chance that on our after hours version of this, I shouldn't say after hours version of this because it already has some weird connotations to it, that we have like a separate version of this podcast that's just for our Patreon subscribers, in which we answer your questions. So you can go and ask a question there. We have
Soren, after hours is coming back in podcast.
Oh God. Oh, please. No, you can, we have a producer, sound engineer, and editor, the incomparable Gabe Harder, and not currently on this podcast. Instead on this podcast, we're using Jacob Weinstein, who's also been really great. I'm not going to say incomparable yet because I don't know for sure yet, Jacob.
Yeah.
So far you've been great. You're batting 1,000, but we just don't know each other well enough. I think that few more of these under our belt, and maybe I might start calling you incomparable.
Wow. I was really happy to let you spin your wheels there.
Yeah, you really let me go. Dan, it's good to talk to you.
This was a pleasure.
Goodbye.
Bye.
I've got a quick question for you. So what's your favorite? How did you get? I think you'll have a great time.